On this 250th anniversary of the Endeavour voyage, the National Museum of Australia has commissioned a film to tell the story from the shore through the eyes of First Nations people. Alison Page is a Walbunya and Wadi Wadi woman whose company Zac Film made the film. She spoke to The Wire's Sarah Martin about following the journey of Cook and Banks along the coast from Point Hicks through Cape York via Botany Bay and Cooktown, and speaking with people whose ancestral oral histories told them about this first contact.
One of the great examples of that is Uncle Tommy Savage up in Cape York that had a song called Ghost Ship that he had learnt and had been passed on to him, which was a really sad song talking about how we should put our system away while this ship is here.
And that was because they were scared that it was ancestral ghosts, is that right?
They definitely were scared that their system of living and their whole culture was in jeopardy. But what is consistent about all the stories that we collected from the far south coast of New South Wales all the way to the tip of Cape York was that they all saw this ship with these white-skinned people on it as the returned reincarnation of their ancestral being. So they were ghosts.
From that we can glean a lot of sense in the response that the local people gave to this arrival with a bit of distrust and not trading gifts.
Without them being able to communicate, without them taking any of the gifts, without them even really understanding each other at all. I mean, don't forget that England understood Māori culture because they had agriculture, they had architecture that they could recognise. And of course now we do understand that Indigenous people in Australia had agriculture and had architecture. It was just so sophisticated that they couldn't see it. So really it's sort of an impossible ask in a way, if you rewind 250 years, to expect these two incredibly different knowledge systems to find a common language. But what's exciting now is that's where we are today, and I think that's what's in it for all Australians in learning about these histories, is that we can find a way to make these two knowledge systems speak to one another.
You also researched the journey from Cook's perspective. Did doing that change your understanding of him as a person?
Oh, definitely. Like, I read his diaries and I read Banks' diaries as well. They're pretty dry reads. But there's a few cracker entries, and one of them is when Cook sails off, he allegedly claims Possession Island, which I don't think happened because Banks wrote nothing about it on that day in his diary. He sails off and he reflects on New South Wales, as he calls it, and he remarks that, you know, Indigenous people are the happiest people he's ever witnessed, that the land and sea provide them everything they would ever need. You know, and that, I think, sort of changed my whole perspective on Cook, really, because I thought, wow, he kind of got it. 1770.
It does make you take stock a bit, doesn't it, of what could have been if people had been able to understand these perspectives and hear that voice above all when deciding what next.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I think we need to dispel a few myths. And, you know, one of them is that Cook's a bad guy, because he's not. I think Banks is probably the shadowier figure. It was his decision that we should be a penal colony. And Banks also, I really believe, laid the foundations for Terra Nullius as well, because he kept referring to the places thinly inhabited. And it would have been his worldview. He was from the upper echelons of society that we're savage and that could be easy to wipe out. And what I really want to know is what happened in those 18 years between Captain Cook sailing off and the First Fleet arriving, because there were a hell of a lot of decisions made in England that affected the lives of every single Australian, and yet we know nothing about that time.
Alison Page is a Walbunya and Wadi Wadi filmmaker. She was speaking with The Wire's Sarah Martin.